recording. Go ahead, Brother Jim.
Okay, greetings in the name of the Lord from Joanne and I here in Illinois. And a special greeting to my brother Marcus there in Togo. God bless you, brother, you and your family and the brethren there. We felt very blessed with the song service, especially the last part. And it was very sweet and very nice, a very good spirit in the worship today. And you notice it carried over into the prayer and sharing time. Everyone just took their liberty and took their time. And it's just really the way that the body should function, because it is one body under that one head of that body, which is Jesus Christ. And so wanted to share a few little foundational nuggets. We're going to be talking about the temple of God, okay? And we know that God has and had three temples. The first temple was the tabernacle of Moses, which was indeed a temple, okay? And the second temple, of course, was Solomon's temple. And the last temple is the temple of the body of Christ. And so when you think about this temple, there was orders. I guess we'll call it orders of service, that the temple, whichever one it was, it had to be cleansed. And the cleansing had to be daily. It had to be regular. It had to be continual. And so the three main elements of the cleansing of the temple: the washing of the water of the word, the blood. We know that the blood cleanses. And of course, they had to sprinkle every article of furniture, and the blood was cleansing. And the last element was the fire. The fire cleanses. And so we want to talk about this temple. We want to focus on this temple of the soul of man. Okay. Now, we know that each one of these temples were divided into three parts: the outer court, which of course for us is our body; the holy place, which of course is our soul; and then the holy of holies, which is our spirit. And so the part of the temple that God is most concerned with now at this time is the cleansing of the of that part of the temple of our soul, that cleansing of that, the work of the holy place in the soul of man. And so and just for a review, we know that the soul is made up of the mind, the emotions, the will, and the desires, the four parts of the soul. And so, first of all, let us say that the soul is really very large. Your soul has a great capacity for either good or evil. Think about that. Our soul, we don't think about our soul much, but our soul has this great capacity to take in knowledge, to take in, the soul can take in so much, intellect, emotion is in the soul, desire, passions are in the soul. These all make up the soul, and the soul has a great capacity for God. Just think, we can drink in God. We can open up and like that song, that last song, if we begin to open up to God, it's like a mighty wind that blows. And guess what it does? It fills the temple, fills the soul. And then the other analysis was a mighty river. If we open up to God, it's like this mighty rushing river with power comes into the soul, touches the soul, cleanses the soul, heals the soul, delivers the soul. So praise God. So we want to talk about, so there was Moses's temple, the tabernacle, Solomon's temple, and then there was the temple of the human soul. But I want to talk about another temple. There's a futuristic temple where the temple is fully completed. It's called the Temple of Ezekiel, Ezekiel's temple. Now, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 40, and you know that all of us here are students of prophecy, students of the end time. And all of us here are very familiar with the book of Revelation. And we know that the book of Revelation is full of mysteries and seals, and they are being unsealed. And the mysteries revealed. Okay. Well, it's no different with Ezekiel's temple. Ezekiel's temple is full of mystery. And again, I believe there's seals there, but we of the end time are recipients of the knowledge and of the understanding coming through the Holy Spirit to break the seals and to open the mysteries. And so let's just begin in Ezekiel 40. And first of all, what we understand of Ezekiel's temple is very limited. We have a very limited understanding. And we're happy for the revelation that we do receive, but it's very limited because there's just a lot of mystery here. But praise God, little by little, we're going to chip away And maybe we can see some of these mysteries revealed. So we're in Ezekiel chapter 40. And I'll just begin at the verse 1. And in the 25th year of our captivity, and of course, Ezekiel was a prophet to those who are captive in Babylon. He was by the river Chebar when he got his most of his revelations. So he's in captivity. In the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year, after that the city was smitten, of course, the destruction of Jerusalem. In the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me hither. In the visions of God, brought he me into the land of Israel and set me upon a very high mountain by which was the frame of the city in the south. So he was carried away into the spirit, and he was back in Israel receiving this vision, but he was bodily, he was there in Babylon. Okay. And he brought me hither. And behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his head and a measuring reed. And he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and let thine heart, and set thy heart upon all that I will show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto thee, art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to the house of Israel. And of course, that is speaking to us. We are a part of the Israel of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And behold, a wall on the outside of the house round about, and in a man's hand, a measuring reed of 6 cubits long with a cubit and a hand breadth. So he measured the breadth of the building 1 reed and the height 1 reed. Now, we're talking about measuring the temple. Now, the measure of this temple of the Holy Ghost, of which we are, the measure is the measure of Christ. Christ is the measuring rod. So everything must be measured to the dimension of Christ. Now, if you were to measure you and I were to measure me, we would always say, well, I'm pretty good. You know, I measure up pretty good. And of course, we would be fooling ourselves because the measure and the standard of the measure is and must be Christ. Okay. And there's no wiggle room, if you know that. Mike knows as a carpenter, and of course Bert was a good carpenter too. You know, you measure twice and cut once, right, Mike? Measure twice, cut once. So, verse 6, then came he in to the gate, which looketh toward the east, and went up the stairs thereof and measured the threshold of the gate, which was 1 reed long, 1 reed broad, and the other threshold of the gate, which was 1 reed broad. And let me just stop and make a comment right there. The entrance into the temple is the eastern gate. And we must understand that the eastern gate is the opening of the mind. So we're going to come back to that. But bear in mind, the eastern gate is the main entrance into the temple, and the eastern gate is the mind. And in In particular, it is the mind of Christ. And so we're going to go on. We're just laying a little foundation here. And verse 7. And every little chamber was 1 reed long, 1 reed broad, and between the little chambers were 5 cubits. And the threshold of the gate by the porch of the gate within was 1 reed. Let me go on a couple more verses. He measured also the porch of the gate within 1 reed. Then measured he the porch of the gate 8 cubits and the post thereof 2 cubits. And the porch of the gate was inward. And the little chambers of the gate eastward were 3 on this side, 3 on that side. They 3 were of 1 measure, and the post had 1 measure on this side and on that side. Okay. A lot of typology here. There's a lot of typology in the book of Ezekiel, and we could never begin to cover all of it and to understand it. But what we're talking about, the temple was built with all of these little chambers. And every one of these chambers had a function, had a purpose. Now, if we could, for a minute, think about your soul. Your soul, mind, emotions, will, desires. And in your mind, there are little chambers. Well, let's just try to think about some of these chambers of the mind. You can have memory, you know. Do you know that your mind acts like a video camera? It acts like a recording device. Ezekiel was caught up into a vision. So his mind, although his feet were in Babylon, in the spirit, he was caught away into Israel in the spirit. So we, in our mind, we have the capacity for visions, dreams, revelation. Do you see, what I'm talking about is the chambers of our soul being filled with the glory of Christ. Now, remember we said that our soul has a great capacity not only for good, but for evil. We have seen down through the ages how the mind of man has been so given over to the beast nature that unthinkable things he has done and is doing to his fellow man, to mankind. And so God is saying, these chambers, this is God's desire. God's desire is to fill all these little chambers of our soul, our mind, our emotions, our will, our desires with Christ. So Christ is the measure. And we want, so what has to happen? it's just like it's called the law of displacement. Okay. So I have a glass and it's filled with air, has nothing in it. As soon as I fill that with water, the water displaces the air. And that's exactly what God is in the process now of doing in our soul. He's going by his spirit. And incidentally, it's the cleansing, the same cleansing. The cleansing of the washing. Remember, we said that there was an order of service of cleansing the temple, the washing of the water of the word, the sprinkling of the blood, and the fire are all cleansing elements. And these are the elements that are working. So, what is happening is all of these little chambers in our soul are being cleansed of that Adamic nature, that beast nature, and displaced, because we're talking about displacement, the law of displacement. Christ is displacing the beast nature, the carnal nature, with his own nature, the nature of Christ, in these little chambers. But brethren, there are many chambers in our soul. But remember, our soul has a great capacity for God. So as we begin to open up to this cleansing, again, the law of displacement. Christ is displacing that old nature with his own nature in our soul. Now, it gets pretty good here. Let's move on because it's going to get better. Because we're thinking right now, oh my God, look at me. Look at my soul. Look at my condition. You know, I've still got this in my life. I've still got that. I still struggle here. And I'm speaking for every one of us, right? If you could say amen, you would say amen. Every one of us should, because we're still overcoming and struggling in certain areas of our soul. But there's a great capacity of our soul for Christ as we begin to open up. Okay. So now, we're going to go down. We're still in Ezekiel chapter 40. And I want to go down to verse 15. And from the face of the gate of the entrance into the face of the porch of the inner gate were 50 cubits. 50 cubits, 50. 50 speaks of a jubilee. Brethren, don't be troubled by the condition that your soul is in now. God is not finished with us. Amen. God is not finished with you. He's not finished with me. There's a jubilee coming. There's a jubilee coming for our soul. When the soul begins to really open up to God. You know, Feast of Tabernacles is coming. We've had Pentecost. We've had Passover. Now we're on the verge of Tabernacles. And Tabernacles is a very joyous, joyous event. Hallelujah. So don't be discouraged about what's going on in your soul. And why can't I change this? Why am I like this? Brethren, Jubilee is coming. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Jubilee is coming. So the 50 is talking about our Jubilee coming into our soul. Okay, let's go on. Verse 16. And there were narrow windows to the little chambers and to their posts within the gate round about, and likewise to the arches, to the windows were round about inward, and upon each post were palm trees. Now, when we talk about these little chambers of the soul, every little chamber has a little window. Now, I want us to understand that God presents to every one of us windows of opportunity for deliverance, so that that chamber can be filled with Christ. So, this week I had a little situation with a person, and we disagreed on something, and I had my gun loaded. Okay. I had my gun loaded. I knew exactly what I was going to say to this person. And the Holy Spirit just checked me. And I didn't say it. And you know what happened? The situation got resolved. And there was peace. You see, let me tell you about that experience. What happened was, the Holy Ghost came into my chamber. I had these words. Oh, I had my gun loaded. Oh boy, I was ready. But the Holy Ghost came in to my chamber and checked my tongue. Do you know about Mr. Tongue? That little member? Do you know Mr. Tongue? A little member that shoots out poison, a fire. My goodness. We're all capable, brethren. Every one of us. So what, I had a firsthand experience of God, the Holy Spirit, coming into that chamber that held my tongue. And peace prevailed. So think about those little windows of opportunity when the Holy Spirit is speaking, dealing with us during the course of our day. I guarantee you, it happens many times during the course of our day. Keep your window. Keep your God window open. Keep that God window open to the Spirit. And let the Spirit come in and fill that chamber. So let's move on. Okay. I want us to go over to the next chapter. Chapter 41. We're in Ezekiel. Hallelujah. Okay, I lost my. There we go. Okay. All right, we're in chapter 41 of Ezekiel. Let's skip down to verse 3, because I got some ground to cover here, and I don't want to belabor this. Ezekiel 41:3. Then went he inward, and he measured the post of the door 2 cubits, and the door 6 cubits, and the breadth of the door 7 cubits. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits, the breadth 20 cubits before the temple. And he said unto me, this is the most holy place. Now, I would love to stay there, but we want to get moving down the road here. So, verse 5. After he measured the wall of the house 6 cubits and the breadth of every side chamber 4 cubits round about the house on every side, and the side chambers were three, one over another, and 30 in order. And they entered into the wall which was of the house for the side chambers round about, that they might have hold, but they had not hold in the wall of the house. Now, we're talking here about the chambers coming to their 30. 30 speaks of maturity, full stature in Christ. God is saying, you're not finished. I'm not done with you yet. You're not finished. You haven't yet come up to your 30. We could use other numbers. You haven't come up to your 7, perfection. You haven't come up to your 10, the fullness of the law. We mentioned 50. You haven't come yet to your jubilee. So what God is encouraging us here is that these chambers of our soul are being filled little by little, day by day, continually with Christ, as we open those God windows into these chambers. Amen. So don't be discouraged that we haven't come up to our 30, which speaks also of divine order. Okay. Now it gets better. Let's go down to verse 7. And there was an enlarging and a winding about, still upward to the side chambers. We're still talking about these chambers. And there was an enlarging and a winding about, still upward to the side chambers. For the winding about of the house went still upward round about the house. Therefore, the breadth of the house was still upward, and so increased from the lowest chamber to the highest by the midst. Brethren, what I see excites me. He's saying is, the seed of Christ is growing, brethren. Do you see this? Look at this. Look at this with me. There was an enlarging every month. Every month, you women, you got larger and larger, because that beautiful little daughter, that beautiful little son in there was growing. And how was that little child growing? That child was protected in the womb and fed with life from the mother. The mother was sustaining and feeding the life into the child, and the child was growing. Brethren, the seed of Christ is planted into every little chamber of our soul. And I'm going to tell you that this is a prophetic word to each one of us. There's an enlarging. It's growing. Hallelujah. Christ is growing. And getting back to the thought of displacement, as Christ gets larger in our soul, in all these little chambers of our soul, little by little, those old natures are being displaced. Hallelujah! Christ is enlarging, Christ is growing. And the chambers of our soul, the capacity we have for Christ is growing. This encourages me. Now, I want you to look at something else here. Okay. There was an enlarging and a winding about upward, it was going up. Look at where it was going. From and to. The Spirit of God is very specific here. We're going to read this verse again. There was an enlarging and a winding still upward to the side chambers, for the winding about of the house still went upward round about the house. Therefore, the breadth of the house was still upward, so it increased from the lowest chamber to the highest by the midst. I read over that kind of quick. Let's go back. It went upward. The window, you know, the window to our soul, the window to every little chamber. You know where the window, where was the window in the ark, in Noah's ark? Upward. That window faced the heavens. So he said, our windows faced upward, and the more that window opened up to God, the more there was, what? Am I reading this right? There was an increase. But where was the increase from? Those lowest parts. Are you seeing this, brethren? Look at it. It increased from the lowest chamber to the highest. Hallelujah. We have got some very lowly places in our soul that really need God. We really need Christ to come in to these low chambers. But he said there was an increase from the lowest to the highest. Brethren, well, before we finish that thought, want us to go. Let's take a look at what we're talking about. We're talking about the inner workings of the soul, the dimensions of the soul. And what we're talking about is we're talking about Christ filling the soul. Okay? So let's take a look at the the enlarging of this soul, the capacity of this soul to receive Christ. Let's take a look at it from Brother Paul's dimension. Paul was a man that was like Ezekiel. He was caught up into the heavens and he saw unspeakable things that he couldn't talk about. I don't know how to describe it. So I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's take a look at the capacity of our soul from Apostle Paul's perspective. Ephesians 4. And I think that possibly this will shed a little light on what we're talking about. Okay, we're in Ephesians chapter 4. And well, let's start in verse 4. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. That word there is charis, where the charismatic movement got their kind of their name. Charis means gift. It's a gift, it's a grace. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, what is the gift? The gift is Christ. And guess who Christ has been given to? Every one of us. Above all, through all, in you all, every one of us. Now, some of us are fortunate enough to get a bigger measure of Christ than others, right? Absolutely not. This is very specific. I want us to get that kind of thinking. Big me, little you. That's why the church is stuck in the quagmire that it is, because of that kind of thinking. You and I were all given the same measure of Christ as a gift into our soul. And in the inner workings of the soul, Christ can use any one of us, every one of us, at any time he wants. So what's the measure? The measure is Christ. The measure is Christ. The gift is Christ. And where is Christ planted? In every one of those little chambers in our soul, I guarantee you. Our thought life, our emotional life, our passions, our desires, our will, our ways, our heart. Christ is planted there. And if we plant Christ, we're going to reap Christ. Let's go on. Hallelujah. Verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men, every one of us. He descended in the same, excuse me, verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill what? All things. Listen, nobody knows the trouble I've been through. You don't know how I was raised. You don't know the experiences I've been through. You don't know how people have hurt me, wounded me. You don't know. Yes, I don't know. But Christ went down. Listen, look at this. He that descended, where did he descend? Into those lower parts of our earth. Those low places of our soul, those low chambers filled with anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Oh, I'll never forgive that person. I could never forgive them. Those are those low chambers of the soul. Jesus Christ went down to the depths of hell so that he can come into the lowest chambers of our soul and fill it with Christ. I hope you're saying amen.
Hallelujah.
There is a hope that no matter what the struggle is, no matter what the weakness is, no matter how many times you failed, Jesus is saying, listen, I came to go down into those deep parts of your soul and fill them with Christ so that not only you can overcome, but that you can be filled with Christ. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 11, he gave some apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The ministry, whatever ministry it is. I noticed some ministry that went forth today. Rita was ministering in music. I noticed some brethren ministering in prayers, some exhortations. This ministry of the body is so that the body, now, first of all, God's desire is that this fullness of stature could come to every member of the body. God doesn't have some special ones that are going to sneak in behind the veil ahead of everybody else. No, sir. That's Nadab and Abihu. They tried it. God's desire is that the body minister to the body so that we all come up to full stature as what? Let me go back. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all, every one of us, one body. One body coming into perfection. That, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto the what? The perfected man, the completed man, unto the, there's that word again, the measure, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ in you, the fullness of Christ in me, the fullness of Christ coming forth in a body, and a body breaking through the veil as one man. Hallelujah! And so, When we recognize, a weakness in a brother, in a sister, this is where grace and mercy is applied. I see my brother, and he can't get over that anger. You know, Christ, the Prince of Peace, hasn't entered into that chamber yet in his soul. So my prayer is, Lord, help brother. He's got an anger problem. Let Christ come in to that chamber of his soul and fill him with your peace because you are the Prince of Peace. So this is body ministry, the body ministering to the body so that the whole body can come to full stature as one man. I had a little, I'm sorry, I have to take a break here. I had a little vision, and it was you, Madeline, and you were talking to your daughter, Rebecca, and it came to me that we need to stand with Madeline and Larry for Rebecca. Lord, let the strongholds that are in Rebecca's life be taken down. Now is the day of deliverance. Loose her from every stronghold that the enemy, every lie. Loose her now.
Jesus.
Deliver. And we agree as the body, as one man, to send forth that ministering spirit.
Amen.
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 Verse 14.
In the name of Jesus.
That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up. Did I say something about in Ezekiel that there was growing up upward? The windows were open upward. The windows of heaven are open to us, brethren. But speaking the truth, we can grow up into him. What? In all things. Every little chamber of the soul can be filled with Christ. Every one of them. Forget about your ancestry. Forget about where you came from. This is every little chamber of the soul, no matter how damaged it was and is, Christ can heal the body. Christ can heal the soul. Christ can heal every little chamber and fill it with Christ himself, his very nature. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself. Brethren, we're growing. Hallelujah. We're growing. We're increasing. There's increase. Don't be discouraged. because of our progress, little by little, day by day, moment by moment. There's an increase every time. I told you about, I had my gun loaded. I was ready to spew something up, and the Holy Spirit caused me to overcome. That's an overcoming. You know what happened? That's an increase. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every time we shut the door to the enemy and open the window of heaven, Christ comes in. And John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Every time we open that God window into those little chambers of our soul, Christ comes in and he increases. And you know what happens to me? I decrease. Amen. I love it. Christ is increasing. I'm decreasing. And we love it. Come forth, thou mighty Christ. So every joint is supplying according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. He's measuring every part of our soul according to what? Now, what's the measuring rod again? The measuring rod is Christ. We don't measure ourselves by ourselves. We don't measure ourselves according to our brother or our sister. The measure is always Christ. And so he's measuring every part of the body. He's measuring every member of the body. And he's measuring every chamber of our soul so that every part can come up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's take, let's just take one more look at this temple in Revelation. We saw Ezekiel's temple. We saw what Paul saw of this temple. Let's just see what Apostle John saw. We're in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. And yeah, hallelujah. I guarantee you, brethren, it's going to get good. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle or the temple, either word, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. It can also read in men. Behold, the tabernacle of God is in men. And he will dwell with them or in them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be in them or with them and be their God. This is the filling, the final filling of the tabernacle of God with his Christ. And he said, he's going to dwell, live, abide forever He's going to be our God. And we as people, because you know what happened? Something happened here. The tabernacle. Do we have any inkling what happened to the boards of that tabernacle of Moses, and what happened to all that furniture? It passed away. That's not the temple God's interested in. Oh, they found this over in Jerusalem. They're going to rebuild. That's not the temple. This is the temple. This is the temple right now. All of heaven is focused on is the completion of this temple. Christ coming into every chamber of our soul and filling it with Christ. Okay, now, verse 4. He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor the crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Brethren, everything of our past life, of our past failure, everything that ever hindered us is passed away. And guess what happened? The next verse. He that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." At last.
Amen.
Every little chamber of the soul is filled with Christ. The mind, that carnal mind, is cast out and become the mind, the pure mind of Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That carnal mind is no more. That little tongue that wants to boast great things, no more. The emotions now become the nature of the Lamb. Our passions, our desires. Do you know one desire Jesus Christ had as a man? His one great desire was to please the Father. No more of those passions and desires in our soul. No more of that stubborn will. Come on, we're all guilty. Let's not kid ourselves. Behold, all things are become new. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we're coming forth. There's a brethren, be encouraged. I hope this encourages you. Be encouraged. You're not decreasing, you're increasing. Christ is increasing. That old man is decreasing. We're not losing ground. Amen. We're increasing. And we're not going down. Those stairs in Ezekiel were winding upward from the lowest, the very lowest part of my soul to the very highest of the heavens. He's going to lift us. Hallelujah. I'm growing. Say it to yourself. I'm growing. I'm increasing. Christ is enlarging in my soul. Hallelujah. I want us to go back to the book of Ephesians. And I want to close here in Ephesians. I want to quote somebody who knew a little something about getting into the presence of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. And we're going to close with two prayers, okay? We're going to close with two prayers of a man that had a great deficit. He came to Christ with a great deficit. He was so trained in the law. So his mind was so trained in the law. And he was such a zealot for the law. And when that man changed, it was one of the greatest transformations ever known to mankind. And how God, do you see what happened with Paul? This man was a scholar, very intelligent, very learned, very astute, a great orator. He said, it's all rubbish. It's all rubbish. It means nothing to me that I may win Christ and know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And oh, how did the man suffer? You're not going to like this, but the fire's coming. And the fire's going to help us to make that last step of change, to cross through the veil. And it's not going to be, brethren, it's not going to be without fire. Refiner's fire, Rita. Amen. We're in Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, verse 14, I'm sorry, Ephesians 3 and 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, the whole body, brethren, every one of us, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in where? In the inner man. This is what we're talking about. The inner chambers of the soul being changed, that we might be strengthened with might by his Spirit in every one of those little chambers of our soul. That Christ may what? Dwell, fill the fullness of Christ. That Christ may fill you, dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the... Are we talking about measure here? The Spirit of God is measuring our breadth, our length. He's going to the deepest parts of our soul. He's going to the highest parts where we think we're so wonderful. All those high and mighty thoughts of us. He's tearing it all down. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is God's great desire. that every one of us and every one of those little chambers of the soul, our mind, emotions, will, every one of them be filled with God, filled with Christ. Now unto him, verse 20, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power. That word is dunamis. According to the dunamis power that worketh in us, Christ is still working on me. He's not done with me. Amen? He's not done with us. He's still working, and he's working with this dunamis power. Let's go over that again. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. Some of us don't believe it. I can't overcome this thing, Lord. Yes, you can. Because there's a dunamis power working in you to help you to overcome. But you don't know my... Yes, I do. I do know your struggle. I went down to the depths of hell for your struggle. Take this. As a matter of fact, I'm going to prophesy to you. I'm going to tell you this is a prophetic word to you, every one of us. Now, unto him, you, me, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Everything that we could ever ask or think, Christ is able to do abundantly above all. Hallelujah! Now unto him, verse 21, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now I want you to go back one more prayer. We're going to end this with another prayer of Paul's. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, and we'll start in verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love of all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, and the spirit of the knowledge of him. We're praying that right now for this body, for everyone listening and everyone who will hear the recording. We're praying that the spirit of wisdom, that the spirit of revelation, and the spirit of the knowledge of Christ Jesus may come upon every man, every woman, every person right now in Jesus' name. That,
amen,
that the eyes, the eyes up into those windows of heaven, that the eyes of your understanding could be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. And what? It gets better, brethren. It gets better. It just keeps getting better and better. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. You cannot change of yourself. It is the power of God working in us and through us that must bring about the change. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. This power, brethren, is working in us and is working through our prayers. Don't limit God. I want to just share something real quick. we were praying for our son-in-law, and I'm telling you, he doesn't know the Lord yet. Did you hear me? He doesn't know the Lord yet. But we were very concerned. He had some health issues. And then another health issue came up. And I know him well enough to know that he was saying, "Oh my God, why me? Why everything happens to me?" You know what? They did further testings and they said, "You know, don't worry about it. It's not what we thought it was." You know what happened? We prayed above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't limit God in your prayers. Don't limit God concerning your children. Don't listen. We don't care if they're living in a pigsty. There's a story of a young man that lived in a pigsty and came to the king's table. Come on. He was restored. Don't believe with your eyes what you see. Believe that the power of God is working in you to change you, and that same power is working through you to hear your prayers, to change your children, deliver them. Loose, loose. Brethren, let us begin to believe that this great power is working a change. I'm decreasing. He's increasing. Amen. I'm decreasing. He's increasing. I'm coming upward from those lowest chambers up to the very highest heavens. You notice where Ezekiel was when he saw that vision? He was up in the mountains. He was in those high places. I think we sang a song about that. To know, let me finish here. Verse 19. We're in Ephesians 1 and 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Did you get that?
Amen.
He's filling every one of us to the fullest capacity. Amen.
Amen.
He's filling us
Amen.
the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Every part of the body is going to be completed. Every part of our soul is going to be completed. We're coming into the completed man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Brethren, we're growing. Amen. We're growing. We're increasing. The power of God is working in us. May God help us. May God bless you. Boy, I don't know if this word was for you, but I can tell you that this word was for me. And I receive it. Christ is increasing. God bless you, brethren.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Well, we have a new recording on now, and if you want to add to this or whatever God has given, share with the brethren.
Yeah, Jim, thank you for this word. And I think this is a word that we need to even go through the record and listen to again to get more out of it. It was quite many things in this. So I thank you. May God bless you.
Amen.
I just wanted to say thank you, Jim, for that word, and I found it very encouraging. And I sometimes myself I struggle with, you know, trying to recognize the new man coming forward, because there's still so much of the old man I need to defeat, and it does get discouraging. To me, it does anyways. And so I just found this word to be very encouraging, and I appreciate it.
I want to say something too. Yes, I just want to say something, Jim. I also had a gun loaded, and I said to my husband, I am sick and tired of people unloading on me. And they can say this in this one particular person. It's like they can do and say anything they want, but I have to shut my mouth and be Christ-like. And then after this one phone call, I said to my husband, I'm not holding back anymore. I am saying what I want to say to this person. And I don't care if this person hangs up on me, it will be said and done. Well, this person called me back and he did something amazing for me. Amazing. I can't get into what it was. It's kind of legal. It's under legal. And this person just wiped away all my thoughts of really saying everything I wanted to say to him. And I had to hold back, and I had to go back under the Spirit of God. And if people spew out on you, maybe that's God trying to try you. I had to hold back, and now I'm under the Spirit of God, knowing that, thank you, Lord, I didn't say everything I wanted to this person. And I would have regretted it the rest of my life. Because that is not like me to unload like that. And I thank God that the Lord held me back, because this person did something for me that I will always remember and hold dear to my heart for him. And nobody can take that away. That whole circumstance, that whole situation was God, and I will never forget it. Never.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen.
Yes, Jim, I want to thank you for that word. It was very appropriate. I think every one of us needed to hear that, that God is not done yet.
Amen.
There's in scripture again, Philippians chapter 1, he says, "This thing I am confident of, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it's still a work in progress. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. It's him that's going to finish our faith. And all we have to do is be open to that, be confident, and believe. The other thing I wanted to say, Jim, is I appreciate your appreciation of our apostle, our great apostle that came to us, the Gentiles. And I have said, as far as I'm concerned, other than Jesus Christ, he was the greatest individual in the history of mankind, because mm-hmm. by him and what he did and how he suffered, yet he brought the gospel. He brought the good news to small groups there in Turkey. And because of his obedience and, you know, not shrinking back, the world was changed. He changed civilization. And we owe it to our Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost, but we owe it to what Paul did. So thank you for that.
So we can have hope that even the deep innermost things of our mind, the things that come floating in when we're half asleep or even in our dreams, that it will be cleansed and it will be Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Well, let me turn the recording off.